This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better. This is episode 10. Welcome, buenos dias. This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm a life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman and man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. We do that through thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and spirituality and energetics. And so today is going to be a combination of, it's actually an important business strategy. It's an important business strategy. So you as an entrepreneur, whether you've been in this business for a short period of time, or if you've been in it for a long period of time, I've been self-employed since 2003. And my goodness, it is so easy to, on one hand, feel free, but on the other hand, feel trapped at the same time. And I sometimes wish that I had the naivete and the possibility and the excitement of being brand new in the business again, almost like that childlike faith that just bursts through anything. And not to be a Debbie Downer, but the fact is sometimes we just get overwhelmed, we get stuck. I got a message this morning in my inbox, Allison, help, I'm really feeling stuck. And I so get it. I so get it. And y'all know I share behind the scenes. I think sometimes, and I'm not going to lie, sometimes I'm like, I can't believe I shared that. Maybe I shouldn't have shared it. It sounds so negative. And I want to tell you the truth. So here's the deal. Overwhelm, indecision can replace all that possibility, can trade itself for that possibility. And this week, I saw an article and shared it that Jonathan Fields wrote about, why do so many entrepreneurs hate their lives? And I'll link to that in the show notes. It was a great article and it was really true. And interestingly, I had just read an email from one of my friends and/clients. She was a client for a long time, totally a friend, one of my besties actually. And she has been in business as long as I have. And she let her people know that she actually went and applied for a job recently. And there's been times as an entrepreneur when, and it's so, that word is hard for me to hear, self-employed, creating my own business. There's been times when I thought, oh my gosh, it would be just so much easier for me to go and get a job, right? Like, I just like a regular paycheck and regular hours. Because as I was sharing with my husband this weekend, and I see a lot online, it's like when you work for yourself and you're doing work you actually do love, you work 24/7. You don't clock out at 5. And in the past, my wanting to quit cycle was maybe once every couple of months. And I've noticed that my want to quit cycle has been once a day. Once a day, I have these thoughts like, oh my gosh, it would be just so much easier for me to get a job. And then just like my friend Charity did, her name is Charity Gent. This is public information. I'm sure she has it on her blog. And I know she shared this. You know, she went to go for this job interview and she really liked the people and all this other stuff. But then she like smacked in her head and thought, why am I thinking about this? And I do the same thing, right? So I get this message from LinkedIn that says there's all these jobs that you fit with. And every once in a while, it's so tempting to think, well, I have not had a boss in I don't know how many years, and I'm the boss of me, and you know, my business has been sustainable. I've made a pretty good income for the last, you know, for the last 11 years as a coach. Certainly, real estate was a little bit more up and down, but I've made a pretty good income, and I still think. And then I'm like, well, what could I do for XYZ amount of dollars working a couple hours a day that I really enjoy with the freedom that I have? And I whip back into possibility, or whip back into to knowing that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. So my indication, and I bet this is probably the same for you, my wanting to quit isn't that I don't love what I do or that I'm not doing really well at it. But it is, I'm realizing that their burnout, Ginger says, oh my gosh, you guys, it is so easy to go through burnout. And many of you know that I just went through about 20 months of recovering from thyroid issues and scaling back and, you know, and I found myself back in the hustle. And I always say, fuck the hustle. I know that some people love the hustle. I know that there's a way to build business, sustainable business, to create income, to create clients, to create prosperity without the hustle. And yet I found myself back in the hustle. So here's what this tells me. And the reason I know that this works for you too, right? Neuroscientists at Princeton have already determined that physical clutter competes for your attention and causes decreased performance and stress. So we know that scientifically, having clutter in your home, having clutter in your car, having clutter in your office sucks your energy, you guys. Anything that competes for your attention can be clutter. So think about this for a minute. Clutter does suck. So think about this for a minute. We know I come in every single Sunday night, and I actually did it yesterday. I come in every single Sunday night and I clean my office. I try to keep it tidy. I have a lot of things in my office. My office is actually the most collectory, cluttery place there is. Although it's so much better today than it was the day before yesterday. So we already know that clutter drives us nuts. Funny little side note, before I met my husband, I was never a bed maker. And my husband is a bed maker. And the rest of my house is very clutter-free. We just don't do clutter in this house. And I don't come from that. I come from clutter people. And so it was a bone of contention for us for a long time. And obviously, I, you know, quote, Bill won out. But the reality is I won out. My house is so peaceful. At my 20-year high school reunion, I remember being able to say, hey, we can go over to my house, because I knew that it was spotless. I knew that it was clean. And it wasn't just because the housekeeper had come. It's because we live in as peaceful environment as we can. But what's happened energetically with business... Oh, I didn't used to be a bed maker. I'm now a bed maker, even when Bill's not here, right? But here's the thing, anything that competes for our attention. So imagine, I was reading and when I was researching for this, and I'm going to link the articles I talk about, and I'm going to link the study at Princeton and all that other good stuff. But when I was researching, they were saying it is the equivalent of having a three-year-old standing at your side going, candy, 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 candy. And yesterday, that's what happened to me. So my dogs were sitting in their place on their beds in my room. And instead of Clementine whining, Leroy was whining. And he was really hyped up and anxious. He wanted to be running towards the front door and watching people. And I wouldn't let him. And so he was whining. And yesterday, he was going, that incessant whining. And you guys, it went into my chest. It's like mom and dads who have these babies with colic and there's nothing you can do to fix it. And it just goes into this deep place inside of you and it overwhelms you, and out comes all this frustration and anger. And that's literally, I'm embarrassed to tell y'all, but that's what happened. It was like I had to put the dogs up to their crates. I had to go for a walk. I had to take some time for myself. I lost my shit just because of that incessant agitation. Okay, with the dogs, it's easy to know because they're whining. With a child standing at you going, candy, 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 it's easy to know. And here's what I want you to pay attention to, you guys. In not only our life, and I'm talking business today, so of course this can go into your life too. It can go into your home. It can go into your car. But in our businesses, both the physical, emotional, the structural elements, and then even our workspaces, how much stuff is competing for your attention? Right? Not to mention the usual competing for our attention. In this electronic age, the digital stimulation is off the charts. I get frustrated at the dogs, but I'm not even noticing that it's probably not even the dogs that elicited this thing in me. It's all the other stimulation is constantly bombarding us. And we are in energetic beings. And our brain cannot function with all this stimulation. So add on the electronic age, add on any physical clutter in your house, your home, your office. Add all that to the elements of your business, taking care of your clients and your customers, worrying about paying your taxes. It's no wonder we consider throwing in the towel or even going and getting that job with a boss and a scheduled paycheck. Like the no-brainer job. Like sometimes it's like, I just want to do data entry from 8 a.m. to 5 a.m. with two 30-minute breaks, and I know down to the penny how much my check will be. Think about that for a minute. Why do we want that? What is it about that that we our brain is telling us that we want? Our brain isn't really saying, I want the job. Our brain is saying, I want peace. I want clarity. I want less to think about. I want less to burden. I want to be able to think about the good stuff, right? It's the mindless job so that we can use our mind for other things. So it's time to Marie Kondo that shit. Don't you agree? Right? So Marie Kondo is the author of that book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, which I have not read. I still have to work really hard to release some things. And even putting my paintings in, I have this whole garage studio, and even moving all my art supplies. One of the articles I was reading and researching was talking about in our brains, you guys, when we let go of something, let's say, okay, I'm holding up this little thing that one of my sisters gave me. It's on cardstock, and it's a little piece of art, and it is a heart with the flame, and it says the irreverent priestess with a humongous heart. And one of my art sisters made this for me. And like the thought of getting rid of all these knickknacks or things, or even this little piece of paper, like I couldn't throw it away. A, I love it. It's cute. It does bring me joy. But the reality is anything that at any time has had meaning, when we part from it, when we let go of something, even if it's not something we love anymore, it fires off the pain receptors in our brain, you guys. Holy Toledo. I never knew that. I mean, I know it's hard to get rid of some things sometimes. It's like, pulling that away. I have in my guest room closet, I have a basket of clothes that I'm going to give away that it's like the stopping place before I actually give it away, because it can be hard. And I know it's hard for a lot of people, but did you know that it triggers the pain receptors in your brain? That's crazy. So think about, especially those of you who have been in business for a while. And this is where I am in my business. So of course, this is what I'm talking about, but I know I'm not alone. I haven't read the book, the Marie Kondo book, but one of the premises from there is get rid of anything that doesn't give you joy and that's needlessly taking up space. So the idea from what I've understood and researched, you know, she gives a lot of how-to methods and how to fold stuff, et cetera. Not even there yet, but the idea of does it give you joy? Does it give you joy? Why are you holding on to this? Why is this taking up space? Oh no! One of my clients on the live stream is saying you must read the Kondo book. It's different than you think. There's some of the things I've read. I think I really would enjoy it, and I do believe that everything takes up energy, and everything has a little bit of a soul. Our things want to be taken care of. But getting back to business, so think about this. Most of my audience are heart-centered entrepreneurs, people who have a high need for integrity and alignment in their work, right? So you guys are heart first and then systems versus people who are all systems, all mechanics. Both are legitimate ways of business, but my people usually want there to be a soulful element to their business. So like Christine's on here with soulful selling. It's not just slimy selling, it's soulful selling, right? We want to have our integrity be the foundation. And so when we are like that, and when we're moving through our world and our business that way, a couple of things happen that we really have to watch for. Number one, emotion wins out over strategy in day-to-day business. And I'm very big on bringing emotion into business, and we've got to check it. It's my MO also. So we've got to check it regularly when we're heart first. The other little danger, and this is a side note and a whole different topic of conversation, but we get into people pleasing and when we're emotional, so we can be people pleasers. And so if we begin to be people pleasing, then we're running our business out of obligation. So this leads me to this conversation of kind of taking the article that Jonathan Fields wrote and then Marie Kondoing. So first of all, physically, absolutely, in your space, work through the process of making sure that everything that around you has a use, has a purpose, and gives you joy. Now, in 2015, Jonathan Fields wrote that blog post called Why Do So Many Entrepreneurs Hate Their Lives? And in it, he suggests 11 questions for realigning your actions with your essence. Especially if you have been in business for a while. These 11 questions, combined with truly deciding what gives you joy. Okay, in 2015, Jonathan Fields wrote a blog post, Why Do So Many Entrepreneurs Hate Their Lives? And he has these 11 questions, and I'm going to share the 11 questions with you. The 11 questions combined with deciding what truly gives you joy can help you realign and reinvigorate your work. A clean sweep, if you will. And I want to share a little background personally with you, how I know that this stuff matters. Okay, it's not just a question, how I know, and frankly, that even sitting down and asking these questions, we have to think about, it's not an easy assignment, okay? And life happens. You're exactly right, Freddie. It's not necessarily an easy assignment, but the self-knowledge, when we can really, I call it being self-centered. It's not being selfish, but it's being centered in ourselves. And when we're out of alignment, which we've talked to in the last couple of episodes, but when we're out of alignment, as I have been almost every single day for the last 3 months, out and in and out and in and out and in, right? It makes it that much harder to come back in, right? So the idea is, we've got to go tune really far inward. We've almost got to start from the beginning again. So I'm going to share these 11 questions with you. I'm going to go through them. Well, I don't know how I'm going to go through them. Who knows what they'll spark? But I want you to begin to think about, it's almost like purging your closet. And in my business, I noticed with all the things that are going on the outside of my business, right? So the website, my physical representation, it's not my work. It's the physical representation of my work online. Some things were breaking. They were breaking under the weight of being 10 years old. And then as we are moving forward with creating a new site, actually two new sites, one is a kind of a layover until I can do the thorough process of really re-cleaning out this closet. I've noticed that I have accumulated so much stuff. I've accumulated. Now, it's real tempting to throw it all away, but some of it is valuable. So I have accumulated ebooks. I've created, blog posts since 2012. I've created courses. I've created doodle meditations. I've done different programs. There's so many things that I've done, and they're all, you know, literally in the back end of this website, but they're also energetically in my business, and I'm not doing them all now. So this is what's interesting. This is what I find really interesting, and that's what's brought this to awareness. And then I'm going to get into the 11 questions. As I start to map out all the different elements of my business, I get overwhelmed. Some of them I feel responsible to do. One of my clients told me, she said, the favorite thing you've ever done that I've been to, and she came to Camp Starheart last year and has taken some of my classes. She said, the favorite thing I've ever done, the most life-changing, was coming to the painting retreat at your house. And I've just finished this year-long expressive arts training program. And when I think about doing another art retreat at my house in this moment, in this season, it doesn't give me joy. It stresses me out. Or it feels like an obligation. And the thing we end up doing is pleasing the client because we think it'll sell. And so we put things on the books, or we do offerings because we should, not because of the joy. And so that's just one example. It doesn't mean I'll never do an art retreat again, but this season, it's not what's giving me joy. It's one of the reasons I was able to move my art studio out of my office and into the garage studio. Like this season, and that's the other thing, just because it served us once, just because it gave us joy once, doesn't mean, just like the clothes in our closet, right? Or the stuff in our house, just because it gave us joy once doesn't mean that it's still giving us joy. And if it is not contributing to you, it is sucking from you. Okay. And so what I want you to do is I want you, you don't have to write these down. If you're already on the Be Better email list, you'll get these written down. Or you can find it in the show notes, the link to Jonathan Field's blog. And as he says, these aren't the only 11 questions, but they're super helpful. So number one, what do I care about? Another way to say this is, what's really important to me? It's very easy to be thinking about what's important to the client, what's important to our bank account. I know that one. That's what's gotten me out of alignment recently, is I'm thinking about what's important to my bank account, not what's important to me, what feels good. Yes, having a full bank account feels good, right? But like I've my paradigm has shifted. And so we've got to think, what do I really care about? And I'll tell you what, this I know. Scooting up to the table to get a little closer, because this is important. When I am doing work I care about, the money flows in, right? And it's like, I even know this, but somehow my little lackeys get in and start stressing out about money. It doesn't, that's clutter. Okay. So number one, what do I care about? Number two, what do I hold sacred both in business and life? What do I hold sacred both in business and life? What's sacred? And if you're participating in something that isn't sacred, this is a good point to share this. Okay, I was checking in there. If what's sacred in life? Okay, so this is the example that comes, right? On a hot summer day, or when I'm parched or after a walk, a nice glass of clean water gives me joy. It replenishes my system. Okay? So I want to make an important distinction here, because I don't want this to be used as an excuse. Now, y'all wouldn't do that, would you? I don't want this to be used as an excuse to throw out everything. Okay? So that water gives me joy. Now, when I open up the sink, do the pipes give me joy? No, the pipes don't give me joy. But the pipes, and having the pipes and the plumbing work properly, leads to the clean water flowing. Okay, so that's the other thing. When you're thinking about what do I hold sacred in both business and life, right? So do I love coming down here and tidying up my office? Did I love repainting and taking all that stuff in and out? No, but the end result was I was willing to do some discomfort. I was willing to be a little uncomfortable for the end result, okay? So I just wanna make that quick distinction, okay? Because sometimes we're gonna have to do a little bit of work. Now, are we working for something that we don't love? That's a different thing. Are we working for something that we don't love? So question number three is, what lights me up? What would I work hard to do for free? So hard work, this is the other thing. Hard work is not bad. We just want to do hard work for what we love. Not miserable work for something that we half love. And here's question number four, and this was really important. This is a good one. What empties me out emotionally, psychologically, and physically? All right, what sucks the life out of you? What sucks the life out of you? And if that is a crucial part of your business, maybe you need to refer it out. Or is it possible to eliminate the need for that in your business? What sucks the life out of you? What empties you out? Really check in and notice that. And this is the thing. If it's not giving you life, most likely it's sucking the life. It might be a slow leak instead of dramatic leak. But if it's not giving you joy, you're going to have a harder time enrolling. You're going to have a harder time selling it, right? Nobody wants to sell a product that they're not jazzed about. You want it to give you life, not empty you out. Okay, number five, who do I want to serve? And I'm learning more and more about this. Who are the people I want to work with? Who are the people I want to spend my time with? Professionally, obviously personally too, but professionally, I want to surround myself not only with customers and clients, but with people who work for me and colleagues. Right? What empties me out emotionally? Who do I want to serve? What, and I love the way one of my coaches put this, what are their characteristics? Right? And I'm not talking, oh, they're 45 women and they XYZ. I'm talking about what are their psychological and emotional characteristics. I was sharing with a potential member or a potential visitor to Camp Starheart. I had the opportunity to talk to her about the event, and I got so excited just talking about the event and the people. And one of the things I said was that the people in my world are owners. They don't make excuses. They own their shit. They're responsible. And they don't generally massively project their shit onto other people in a victim way. My people are owners. My people take insights and do something with them, right? My people tune into their intuition or at least want to know how. And so think about, who do you want to serve? Then this is another good distinction. Number six, do I care more about serving or building? And this one's tricky because a lot of people I know in self-employed entrepreneurial businesses, especially if they're doing service-based work, they want to serve. They want to help people. And so they struggle with the building part. Okay. This is where we get help, you guys. Most of you don't have any problem serving other people, but learning how to serve in a way that doesn't empty you out, that doesn't create emotional, energetic clutter, and learning how to build in a way that contributes. So getting the support and the help you need, right? Whew. Do I care more about serving or building? And I don't want to be absolute on this question. I know that if I serve without taking some time to build my structures, it's like 80% serving and 20% building. But if I drop down to 10% building, then the serving starts to suck me, right? Okay, number seven, what do I value on a non-negotiable level? What do I value on a non-negotiable level? What's a non-negotiable for you? What's a non-negotiable for you? Right. So that's, you know, Odie says, yes, taking responsibility for ourselves is a big one, top of my list. One of my non-negotiables, especially with my one-on-one clients and anybody I do private work, so my group coaching and my private clients, my non-negotiable is that right there, taking responsibility for yourself. Right. I work with owners, not victims. Right. I work with people who take responsibility, who are able to clean up their own messes, who are willing to have difficult conversations along with the fun ones. Right. What are your non-negotiables? One of mine right now, and this is the other thing, they don't have to be absolute forever. Right now, there was a time when I was traveling 1 to 2 times every single month. Every single month I was traveling 1 to 2 times. And right now, that's not an option. Traveling every single month is not an option for me. Not because the world says I can't do it, but because it's a choice. It's non-negotiable for me. I don't want to do it. Freddie asks, what's number 6? Do I care more about serving or building? And listen to your intuition about the proper balance. Some people really care about building, and they have systems and machines and structures, and they don't give a rat's ass about serving. That's where you see a great product, but horrible customer service. Unhappy people, probably on both ends. Think about what would create joy, what would give you energy, what is your ratio of serving to building. Okay, number 7, what do I value on a non-negotiable level? Number 8, what am I great at? This is one that got me recently. What am I great at? This was huge for me. So I don't know if Katie McLean is still here, but right now I have only 2 people on my one-on-one roster. Actually 1, because Katie just finished. Katie and Eric. And I had dropped down my one-on-one coaching roster on purpose over the last couple years, and I did more group work just to leverage my time better. But my calls with Katie and Eric, they're separate, but my calls, I would notice that before, during, and after the call, I felt so in love. I felt energized. I felt wise. I felt like I was doing a good job. I felt skilled. I felt really excited. And I realized how good I am at coaching. How good I am at coaching and consulting and going from energetics on one level to business strategy on the other. And it was so nice. Katie was always so good at reflecting that back to me. I have permission to talk about this. She and I've shared some of this publicly before. And she was so good at reflecting that back to me. And I had forgotten how good I am at coaching. And I had gotten into teaching classes. You know, all the online models say, get away from one-on-one work. There's other ways to do one-on-one work without sucking your soul. What am I great at? I'm great at doing one-on-one work. So that's number 8. And then here's number 9. What am I terrible at? What am I terrible at? So while I'm an artist, I am not a designer. Okay? I'm an artist, but I'm not a designer. And a designer is good at making things really pretty. And when I create art through a process. And sometimes it looks pretty and sometimes it doesn't, but it's more about the process of creating. And so I found that as I'd had a previous designer and developer build my site, we're working on a new one, and I started like, oh, I can do this. And I started doing it. And with every little bit of type, do, this just the joy of it all was sucked out. There was no joy and pleasure in it. And so here I am doing something that does not light me up. It empties me out, and that I'm also not really good at. You know, I pulled back and I looked at the site and it looked very homemade. It didn't feel in alignment with what I want to offer. It felt really depressing. And I realized I am not good at making things pretty, especially as far as a marketing thing, right? I can do the doodles and all, you know, some of the style elements, but I'm not good at the final finishing touches. And to recognize that and not beat myself up for it, and to leverage it out, to hire it out, to pass it off my teammates, or hire somebody who is an expert at XYZ. I've hired a bookkeeper, right? And my tax guy, they are experts. And I know a lot of you may sit down and do your own money stuff. Yes, always watch your money, but unless you're an expert bookkeeper, get a bookkeeper, get a CPA, right? What am I great at and what am I terrible at? Someone on here said learning the technology. Figure out what's the minimum technology you need to learn versus what you can have somebody else learn for you, right? And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll think about the vision of what I want. Like if I had all the money in the world and all the staff in the world, what would I be doing and what would I hire out? And part of this is clearing clutter because we're just so used to doing it all ourselves. We don't even give ourselves the brain space to think, well, what if I could have somebody else do this for me, right? Okay, we've got two more. Number 10, how do I want to spend each day? How do I want to spend my day? I realized last weekend when I was in Austin visiting my sister and her kids and my niece's 15th birthday that I spent 4 or 5 hours on the back end of a website. I didn't want to do that. Why did I do that? That was me. I made the choice. Life didn't do that to me. This is me following the clutter in my closet, right? But if I get rid of that clutter, and usually this is how it works, right? You have your keep pile that gives you joy. You have your throwaway pile, which is not needed. And you have your give to others pile. You have your keep pile because it gives you joy. You have your throwaway pile. And then you have your give to others. And I realized the back end of this site was my give to others pile. How do I want to spend my day? And the number 11 is, how do I want to live my life? How do I want to live my life? I think this one is interesting too. I've noticed a lot of people, especially in the coaching industry, I know quite a few coaches who built their businesses up to $1 million plus businesses. And quite a few of them come back down to private practice. And I don't mean to say up to or down to private practice. But what happens when you're building a $1 million business, I'm sure that if you could have one client pay you $1 million, great, you have a $1 million business. But in the online world, if you're following some of the traditional models, you are not just coaching, you are managing a team. And then maybe you could hire somebody to manage the team, et cetera. But there's a lot of moving pieces. And I know this is one of the things that I wrestle with because I have this vision for what I want. And yet the reality is being a boss is different from being a coach. How do I want to live my life? I've heard so many people say, I wanted to grow my business, but I didn't want to manage people. Maybe we don't want to grow our business. Right? I have one colleague that netted $97,000 the year she did a $1 million business because it cost her so much. So she's like, screw this. I'm going back to one-on-one. Just straight up one-on-one coaching because she could still have a higher net and all the clutter is gone. All the clutter is gone. And I think sometimes, I don't think, I know. And if it's happening to me, it's probably happening to some of you. We're going so fast. We're working so hard. We love what we're doing so much. We love our clients. We love our product. We love what we do. That we don't slow down enough to check in frequently enough. Am I in alignment with this? Does this give me energy or does it suck energy? Is it a contribution to my life? Or is it sucking my attention and my energy away? Right? There was a candle. This is another silly analogy, but these silly analogies, which I'm famous for, these silly analogies actually expand to so many areas of life. So I don't have it anymore because it went out with the trash, but I have this one Frida Kahlo candle. And then I had another candle. These are like the candles that are in Catholic Church, prayer candles, right? The long, tall cylinders. And one that was, you know, it probably had 2 inches left and I couldn't reach it with a match. I'd have to have a flamethrower. And I was making myself hold on to that candle because it hadn't got all the way down to the bottom. And then I was like, why am I holding on to this candle? It's just another clutter on my desk. Now I'm keeping the Frida because I like the art on the outside and I can replace the inner candle. Right? So one of them went in the trash. Like, what are we holding on to just because it's there? So go through your offerings, go through your services. And especially if you're a creator like me, like, oh, it's so easy. We create, we get off on creating, we create, but more is not better. Better is better. More stuff is not better. More work is not better. More tools are not better. There might be a point, this is another example. So I use a mail program that works just fine for me. It costs me $30 a month based on the number of people that are on my list. I don't have a huge list because I'm not trying for bigger. I'm trying for better. And I see a lot of my colleagues, love to you if you're watching and you do this. Everybody gets their own choice. But I see a lot of my colleagues investing in very expensive and very robust email marketing programs. It's a machine, right? It's do I want to serve or build? It's the machine. Now, there's probably somebody out there that knows how to work that machine and leverage it for your business. And I can see that there is a place, a time and place for that. There may even be a time and place when I get to that. But right now, the thought of it creates clutter in my mind. I like the simplicity of picking up my phone, taking a picture, and sending a love note. And then sometimes picking up my phone, taking a picture, and sending an invitation to an offering. Okay? Is it able to do more? Yes. But I laugh because I remember I use MailChimp. I'll just go ahead and say it. I use MailChimp. And I don't know what he uses now, but I remember Michael Hyatt was getting pretty big. He wrote the book Platform. And I think it was hilarious because all these people were trying to convince me to spend all this money on another very large product that works wonderfully. And I know a lot of people use it. And across the wire comes an email from Michael Hyatt at the time, probably 3 years ago. And I know he had a much bigger list than I do. And it was on MailChimp, right? Like, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean we need to, right? And so figure out what's the clutter. What can you tidy up in your business? What can you tidy up, not just on your desk, but in the structures and systems of your business? Now, some of you may love all the complication. You're probably not following me if you love all the complication or if you love all the tiny details, because I am such a tangent speaker, right? But what clutter is clogging up your business? What clutter is clogging up your energy? What programs are you offering that you're not in love with anymore? What are you offering because you think you should offer it? I've done the Share Your Heart, Show Your Work class 3 times, and someone pointed out to me. Now, it may or may not be true, but I'm going to own that it probably is a little bit true, and my health was a little bit of a mess. But the first 2 times I did it, I was so on fire for it. And the third time I did it, I didn't have as great as enrollment. And someone said, you just seemed a little off. Well, I was a little off. I was going through my physical stuff, right? But your people notice that. And so everybody's like, oh, when are you going to do it next? Right now, it doesn't fill me with energy. I'm not throwing it in the trash because it's really great content, but I'm going to figure out what would give me, if I were to use this again, how would it give me energy? Because if it gives me as the business owner energy, then I know that energy is going to come across through my clients. I know that it's going to come through my systems and my structures and my bank account. But so many of us are holding on to things that create clutter. And as we talked about at the beginning of the call, anything that competes for your attention can be clutter. It's noise. And on top of everything that is demanding our attention, what if we protected our business and our environment, not from a place of fear, but just like, you know, some people I know are really good about only putting things in their body that give them energy. You know, someone says, I'm not going to eat that because it's going to make me sick for 3 days. What life-changing magic could you give to your business by tidying up? I wish that I could say, and maybe for some of you, it can be as quick as a snap of the finger. For me, this many years in, and I've made small shifts, but this is like the time when I love to move. I love to move. One of the reasons I love to move is because every time I move, I tidy up. I get rid of things and do not take them with me to the new house that no longer served me. In this last move, I threw away so much stuff. I gave away stuff. I sold stuff. I got rid of so much stuff so that when we moved here, we would have less more than more. And this time in my business, this season in my business, this is not just the cleaning out of the closet. I am moving house, so to speak. I am going through everything. I am doing the deep decluttering, the deep whole decluttering. And for you, you may not be at the place of deep whole decluttering. I am. I look up and trailing behind me is 11 years, 6 years, all this heavy weight of things that I've done that I haven't wanted to let go of. A site that's falling apart, that because people love it and because I love it, is falling apart. And I realize, Allison, this is a burden. Business isn't a burden, but when we're holding on to these things. So it's time to purge and clean and do a spring cleaning. I'd love to hear what your version of spring cleaning might look like. I'd love to hear if you are at the beginning, what these questions do for you. And if you're in the middle somewhere, or you're at a restart, I'm at what they call a pivot in business, where I've been doing this long enough that it's time to pivot. I can feel it because the old ways of doing things are not going to get me where I want to go. And the old ways of doing things cause problems with my thyroid and my health because it was sucking my energy. So if we want to avoid burnout, if we want to avoid thinking, oh my God, I gotta get a job, then what we've gotta really do is strategically, emotionally, energetically, and psychologically align all the elements, both physical, mental, thinking, emotional, and energetic, align those with joy. Align those with being lit up and release the rest, clear the clutter. That's what I have for you guys today. So I see on the live stream, a lot of people just joined. I highly recommend that you go back to the beginning or at least listen to the podcast when the podcast drops on Monday. I want to thank y'all so much for being here. In the show notes, I have a link to the book. I have a link to Jonathan Field's article. And I really want to encourage you to, now here's what I've got to do, right? So I go and I work on cleaning out my office and getting rid of things. I still have one more layer. So I'm about to go through the layer of books and the notebooks and class materials. But even more important to do that. So this is what's interesting. It's easier to go and grasp the physical, but actually sitting down and answering those questions in depth, 2, 3, 4 layers deep. The 11 questions that Jonathan Fields posed in that blog article and that we talked about today. It's easier. It was easier for me to take everything out of my office, paint the walls, and bring only the stuff I love back in yesterday than it is for me to sit down and honestly answer those questions. It's not easy. We think it's easy and we read the questions and we go, oh, we have an insight. But to really roll up our sleeves, to check in with our body, to check in with our head, to check in with our energetic system and answer those questions. I'm going to go through them one more time and then we're going to close out. What do I care about? What do I hold sacred, both in business and life? What lights me up and what work? What would I work hard to do for free? What empties me out emotionally, psychologically, physically, and I'm going to add energetically? Who do I want to serve? Quit working with everybody. Not everybody is your people. And if you're working with people that aren't your people, it's going to suck the life out of you. Do I care more about serving or building? What do I value on a non-negotiable level? What are my non-negotiables? What am I great at? And what am I terrible at? Leverage. Either don't do what you're terrible at or hire somebody to do it. How do I want to spend each day? How do I want to spend? Your time is a great currency. How do I want to spend my time? And how do I want to live my life? Do I want to live my life stressing out about the back end of a website, or do I want to spend my life chasing waterfalls and loving all my clients and helping my clients trust themselves, right? How do you want to live your life? So that's what I have for you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I do want to let you know here at the end, the doors for Camp Starheart close on Wednesday, in just a few days. So they close on Wednesday, the 22nd. It's the last day to get your ticket for Camp Starheart. I have 10 more tickets left. That's it. So I really want to encourage you to take the leap. Come get a little bit of spring cleaning for your soul at Camp Starheart. www.campstarheart.com is where you can get your tickets. Thank y'all so much for being here. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to go and spend the rest of the day doing pub crawls with my husbands and the local crowds. We're going to go. That's the thing. I don't want to spend all my days behind these computers. So I am consciously choosing to put more play in my days. And so I'm going to go play this afternoon. So I hope this helps you. I would love to hear. Come back to this live stream and let me know your comments. Don't message me. Don't message me. Let me know in the comments what spring cleaning you can do for your business. What spring cleaning, what resonated with you about today's session? Thank you so much. Your likes, your shares are much appreciated. And I will see y'all next week for the Better Life, Better Work show. Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.alisoncrow.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.alisoncrow.com/better. This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better, better is better.